That's right, The Drive is live, and we are live here at Big City Wings in Edo, right off Navigation. Come on out, have a good time as we be here till 6 o'clock. If you are in the building, you can sign your name in our raffle box, the table right there up front, and you'll have a chance to win gift cards, tickets as well to U of H and Iowa State. We will be hooking folks up with that throughout the show, so come on out, hang out, and have a good time with us on this Football Friday. Clint, I see Clint's already partaked in a little bit of salad action. As he will work that over, the people on YouTube and Twitch are going to really enjoy watching you.
Sure,
eat
they
that
should.
Salad for the because they were really commenting on me that last time I had a salad. Like, well, wow, you are messing up that salad.
Well, that's fine.
Damn right.
That's fine. Yes, I'm going to smoke it. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. I was in this exact location yesterday.
This is my first time being here.
I was in this exact location yesterday, and you can probably guess what I had. I had the tahine wings. As I've said many a time, growing up in Baytown, I knew exactly what tahine was. I've had it in several different forms and just never had it on a wing until Big City Wings did that. And boy, did they ever do it. And then I also had a little six-piece of the new limited-time offer Crawdaddy flavor wings. Again, if you're from around these parts, odds are you like crawfish.
I gotta try that one, man.
Hey man, look, Tyler, I don't know how they did it. Well, I know how they did it. They cooked it in crawfish.
It was delicious, huh?
It's tremendous. I mean, it smells like crawfish. It's like all they did was take the little pinchers off and just and fry the leg up and let you have it.
You know what? The fam is coming up. Lauren loves her some crawfish.
Yeah, man.
She might have to get them wings.
Yeah,
she
man.
Likes the wings. She might have to get them craw. What's that? Crawdaddy.
Crawdaddy is the flavor, man. Yeah, they're good. It's aggressive. They better like crawfish, but it's you know, for me, it's I've just never been to a wing place that I cared to venture off from just your main. Which I'm not complaining. The main flavors are good as well, but I've never wanted to stray much. You know, lemon pepper maybe, or you know, but really just
Big City Wings
Buffalo.
Makes you want to stray a little bit.
Big City Wings, yeah, makes you want to stray. Maybe in more than one way. Maybe in more than one way. Come on through and find out.
The hell's that mean? All right,
I like that. That's mystery off, and intrigue
hey,
in that.
Stray off your beaten path. Get on out here. When you get here, I don't know your situation. You may stray a bit if the right thing walks in, and then
when you get a chance to party.
If you're a mainstream Buffalo hot wing eater, get you some crawdaddies and some tahini.
All right, let's keep this thing on the tracks here.
All right,
let's keep it on the tracks. All right, before we get into some action on this game here, we'll get the official injury report, but I think some positive news today, Clint. Joe Mixon returned to practice, and there's video of him. I'm seeing him.
I love Joe Mixon.
Jumping up and down, Clint, jumping up, running, sprinting, running, doing stuff. He returned to practice today. Nico Collins, who showed up on the injury report with a hamstring, he practiced and is trending towards playing. So those were two big returns with Joe Mixon and Nico Collins. Tank Dell did not practice. There's an expectation that he won't go. Damian Pierce didn't practice. So those two haven't practiced all week long, Clint. But the big news, we talked about it yesterday, of the guys that didn't practice, Joe Mixon was obviously the one that stuck out the most. And he returned, Clint. Even though he didn't practice the last 2 days, him coming back on Friday and just seeing him, Clint, I will be floored if he can't go. And the way that he was jumping up and down on 2 feet, taking off, I will be absolutely floored if he can't go. It does seem like this week may have been just, let's just keep him off his feet, not have him in the padded practices yet until we get closer to the game.
Well, this is the week you need him, man. This is a get-right game in a big way for the Texans. I mean, they have not been good offensively with the exception of the first half against the Colts. They have not been tremendous on the defensive side of the football other than the four quarters against the awful Bears offense. So, I mean, they've got, again, the bar is set really high for this organization. This is, we're talking AFC, one of the best teams in the AFC. We're talking about a top five team in the NFL. We're talking about Super Bowl caliber. They need a get-right game. They got the opponent. Now they got to do the tough part for them, which is go out there and roll out a product that is significantly better than what is probably the at least, not the worst. I think Tennessee's probably there, but maybe – maybe the third best team in this division. The stars are aligning for them to do that if they can just handle their business. And a big part of that is Joe Mixon. Look, I think Joe Mixon, whether you're talking about just the way in which he handles his business, the position that he plays in terms of being a running back that's not responsible for a lot of the communication, or you talk about the pelts on the wall, he is a guy that if things ain't getting done up front, if things aren't getting just right in pass protection, he is a guy that I think will have the opportunity and, again, has the skin in the game to say, hey, man, y'all got to get this together. We got to get this together.
Yeah, so
I think beyond just the upgrade at running back and what he brings to that position, I think the get-right factor in the huddle for the offense and checking guys, I don't know this, but I'd be willing to bet you that Joe Mixon is one of a handful of guys that
can do it. I think you talked about it yesterday. I do think he is a guy, his presence, they feed off of. His physicality and there's just a different vibe from Joe Mixon when he's in the game. Like, he finishes runs. You could see the emotion in his face. It does feel like, hey, let's go. Let's keep this thing rolling. So that is a big turn of events there. I think the Tank Dell thing they were prepared for, and we'll see how they handle that. As we talked about yesterday, that might take away some of the gadget stuff. But as you said yesterday, hell, that might be a good thing. That might be a good thing for them to focus more on just making the easy, boring plays coming up in this game. But again, if you're just now tuning in, Joe Mixon returned to practice. He had not practiced the last 2 weeks up until today's practice and didn't play last week. He returns to practice. Nico Collins with that hamstring, he practiced, and it looks like he is going to play. Tank Dell, Damian Pierce, they look like they won't be able to play on Sunday. When we get the full injury report, we will have that for you, and we'll let you know about that as soon as we can. All right, as we said here, we're at Big City Wings, right off Navigation in Edo. Come on out, have a good time, food, drinks, and prizes for you to potentially win. Bobby Slowick spoke and said a lot of things. He addressed the biggest thing. I want to hear people. Text line 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, when you hear the phrase Texans penalties, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Laramie Tunsil. Sorry, I wanted to win.
Okay. Did you have a buzzer to push and just roll through?
Yeah, I was slamming it. No whammies.
713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, when you hear Texans penalties, what's the first thing you hear? As Tyler Milner came out of the gates roaring. With Laramie Tunsil. By the way, I know we're going to get that text in a little bit of thing that I love. Boy, people can't spell that man's first name. And I just love the different creative ways that I see Laramie Tunsil spelled.
I see Larmie Law.
Oh, yeah. That L-A-M.
Yeah.
I-R-E. That is a real popular one. It's so popular that I have in my heart believe that it is being auto-corrected. Like, it just comes in so many times. Like, I know.
Well, look, there ain't no doubt about it. He got people pissed off enough to where they'll hit send before they check that damn grammar. That's for
hello.
Sure. Laramie will get auto corrected to who knows what, and they'll hit send before because they're so hot.
Laramie.
I'll tell you, fellas, I know for sure y'all have seen that name come up there, and you know there's a Y at the end of Laramie. I know you took it as. But this is Bobby Slowick. This is what he had to say in terms of the penalty issue the offense has had the last couple of weeks.
Our role is to ensure it does not happen. You know, I mean, we know the rules. This has been a recurring theme for us really since camp that showed up all the way across the offense. I know the offensive line was getting dinged last week. It's been with eligibles as far as alignment, illegal procedures, motion operation. I mean, like we have to get that cleaned up, and we are making sure that happens.
All right. To me, that was the closest that he was going to acknowledge Laramie Tunsil. To me, that was the closest that Bobby Slowick was going to acknowledge Laramie Tunsil. As we're seeing it, Laramie Tunsil up and down the page when I said, what do you think about when you – what do you see when you hear the word when you hear the words Texans penalties. And Clint, and the people out there, you can join in on this as well. What's your expectation? Because he is, from the fan base especially, he is taking it. He has been the number one thing. I know after the post-game show, Clint, that was probably the number one topic for the fans calling in to you and Sean on Sunday after the game. This week, that is what we've heard. Hell, we had a gentleman yesterday who went to the bathroom, and before he went to the bathroom, he just started going off about Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah.
And we've had many conversations about it. What do you expect, and what are you open and needing to see from Laremy Tunsil on Sunday?
One of the best offensive linemen in football. Let's start with that. I don't think it's unfair. I don't think it's unreasonable. Like, you know, I disagree, Ron, on the front of like him getting it. Like, if Laremy Tunsil was doing what he was doing in New York, he would have to have security outside his house. He'd have to have security escorting him out of the building. I don't know why, but I woke up on the side of the bed this morning. I'm like, you know what? This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous that I know me personally, that there's just so much of a soft shoeing what we're watching from Laremy Tunsil. I mean, I've listened to every piece of audio from D'Amico Ryans, and he hadn't said his name once.
Oh, the team definitely is.
I've listened to Bobby Slowick talk all day today. He ain't said his name once. I'm pretty sure that Nick Caserio didn't say his name one time. C.J. Stroud didn't say his name one time. I mean, it's an absolute joke what we're watching, man. I mean, we're talking about the O-line has been awful to where your offensive coordinator is like disgusted with the pass protection and the run game. Two straight weeks you've been awful. Two straight years you hadn't been able to run the football at all. He personally killed our chances last week of winning a game. Last year, the guy that he's got to face this week, Allen, he
won AFC Defensive Player of the Week. He
tuned his ass up to being the AFC Player of the Week. I mean, it's got to get real hot around Laremy Tunsil. He's way too comfortable. I don't give a damn if he's the highest paid guy out there. I don't care how good he's supposed to be or what his reputation is. He's a guy that this organization is taking care of by letting him not participate in training camp. And then you go out there and your unit, you're a captain of the team, and your unit absolutely stinks. And then you individually kill drives in a game on the road against a good football team and make it damn near impossible for your offense to keep up with what's going on with Minnesota. So enough already. Like, he's got to go out there and play like an all-pro player. He's got to go out there and play like he should have a C on his chest. He's got to go out there and be the reason that this offense succeeds one way or another. And if you know what? If the offensive line struggles running the football or pass protecting, then he ought to be in somebody's ass. He ought to be the one that's embarrassed and frustrated with it. I'm just over the nonchalant, just kind of easing through whatever, I'm going to get paid. That approach is borderline disgusting at this point.
Yeah, I think the way that the coaching staff has handled it, yes, I agree with you. I know they haven't handled it anywhere near the way that I think you and fans would. I think he has been the number one thing and person that fans have been disgusted with, at least from what I've seen. And for me, I think he has a bounce back week. I think this is a guy that is prideful, and I think he has heard all week how much he sucked. I think he has heard he needs to be benched. I think he has heard a lot of that. And to the point you also made, last year, this guy that he is going up against, embarrassed him. It made him look real bad. It made him and what people talk about him, the best pass protecting tackle in the game, he ain't look like that against at that time Josh Allen and now Josh Allen Hines. I believe Laremy Tunsil comes back this week and plays to the level that he is capable of playing. Because if he doesn't, Clint, if this stuff continues, if he gets beat or if he can't stop getting penalties just because of the way he is lining up, if these false starts at home continue, like if we don't get the best level of focus from him with this, with everything. This is what great players do. Then there's obviously a bigger problem. I think he cares. I think many people don't believe he cares. I believe he cares. I believe he has pride, and I think we do see a bounce back performance from him. Because if we don't, then it's a bad look. If he comes back here and you clearly see, like, man, he is killing us like he has the last couple of games.
He ain't done nothing. He ain't done nothing.
Fair.
I mean, there's been two or three occasions in a year and a half of football now, or a year and a month of football right now, where you go, yep, that's the highest paid player. That's why you have that guy. There have been so many moments that are not captain like, that are not highest paid like, that are not mentor and leader like. Those are his words. There's been tenfold more moments like that than there have been. Yeah, that's our dude right there. That's why you pay that guy all that money. I just the thought that we've had the conversation on this show. So I'm guilty of it. We're guilty of it. You better be careful what how you address this, because you might lose him, or you might this, or you might that. Hell with that, man. I mean, you got to go out there and play. I mean, even he has to sit there and go, yeah, whatever's coming my way, I deserve it, man. I just flat out got to be better. I mean, I woke up this morning disgusted. I don't even know. Hell, I didn't even dream about it.
You clearly were.
No, I mean, it's just like I don't know. I'm almost pissed off at myself for not being like, more critical throughout the week. Like, this is – you start listing off things that are unacceptable. Like Bobby Slowick.
You think we've given him a pass?
Yes, absolutely. Really? I think everybody's giving him a pass.
I don't agree with that.
Exception of maybe Larry.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I think we've all been – I mean, we put a lot of blame on the law. Like, I agree with you. The coaching staff and the way they handle him, I think they're handling him in a different fashion than maybe you want to. But I think they would do that to anybody, Clint. I think they would handle that –
Shoot.
Same way
you let Kenyon Green get false starts like that. His ass be on the sideline before the half.
No, but I don't think they would come out and call Kenyon Green out.
I don't know. I don't think you're wrong. Point.
I agree,
but I think it's so egregious, Ron, that it's like a quarterback throwing four interceptions. Like you can't have a post game presser and not say, hey, CJ Stroud's got to be better. C.J. Stroud knows we can't. Those are bad decisions. I don't know, man. To me, I haven't listened 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., and so there may be some listeners out there that do that know better than me, but I just – yeah, I mean, I just – because I start listing off the – how bad – when I hear Bobby Slowick say, well, yeah, I mean, we didn't run the ball well last week. He said, hell, I can count on one hand how many times all five offensive linemen did what they were supposed to do.
Dang it, Bobby.
Like, that's on Laramie Tunsil. Like, that's on – you got a C on your chest. I mean, you got a C on your chest, and you're in that meeting room every single day. Like, that's on you. I mean, that's unacceptable. It's unacceptable from Bobby. It's unacceptable from Laramie Tunsil.
Text line, Ron, you gave him a pass. You said we need to be careful how we handle him or they may lose him. Yeah, I think that is the – a pass to me is saying, oh, man, he wasn't that bad. No, I said he was awful, and he was a huge reason why they lost. But I also do think in terms of human and real stuff and what coaches and what managers have to do with managing players and know how their players react to things, I do think a public benching, if you do it, just be prepared that you may lose them. And if you cool with that, then do it. But no, I did not give him a pass.
Well, look, here's the deal. I think the public benching thing last week, that's the first time that it's been that egregious. Now, if it happens again this week or next week, then yeah, I would expect him to take drastic measures. I don't give a damn who he is. But that's where we're at. That's the point. We're at a point where it's disgusting to be that guy making that kind of money that has that reputation, that has that ability, that has the C on his chest. To go out and do what he has done consistently, and then it just come to a head last week, is unacceptable, 100% unacceptable, and that the lackadaisical approach that the team seems to have, as well as his overall just nonchalant approach to the game, it's all a problem.
Yeah, in front of us. I just say, like, Will Anderson, Jalen Petrie, I think they handle they handle it differently. They handle a benching of something like that differently than a guy like, to me, a Stephon Diggs and a Laremy Tunsil. But bottom line is he needs to have a big game, and I think he will. I think he will return back to being the player that Nick Caserio has signed multiple contracts with him to make him the highest paid player in the sport. All right,
thanks,
coming
guys.
Up.
Appreciate it.
There you go, Nick. Coming up as we are live here at Big City Wings here in Edo, right here, right off Navigation. Come on out here and have a good time and get yourself a chance to win things. Just fill your name out, put it in our raffle box, and you'll have a chance to win gift cards as well as tickets to the U of H Iowa State game. Coming up, let's go to D'Amico and his defense. Where, when you look at the top-rated defenses, do you believe with D'Amico Ryans ahead of it and the talent that they should be in those conversations instead of where they actually are? We'll discuss that coming up next.
The Big Orange Wagon, getting you ready for postseason baseball here in H-Town.
The Astros are not playing for a postseason berth or to get to a certain point in October. No, they are playing for straight-up banners.
Are we going to get your flowers for sure?
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Big City Wings in Edo, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome in. It is a Football Friday and a very important Football Friday because the Houston Texans definitely need to get a W against the Jags. And already good news, Joe Mixon returned to practice today, and it looks like he will play in the game on Sunday. And if you go on social media, you can see videos of Joe Mixon at practice, and it looks like a guy that can move. He is jumping off of 2 feet and landed running hard. I saw on one, he jumped really as high as he could off 2 feet and then it immediately took off on a sprint. So he looks like he's going to be ready.
He did the old Pat Mahomes in the end zone, get right,
looked
get
a
up.
Lot, looked a lot, hear you. Lot better. Looked oh, like, a lot better, a little more athletic than him. off to a good start on this on this Friday. All right, Clint. The defense, we talk about passes. I don't think – now, we can disagree here. I think maybe we'll agree with the team, the way they've handled it. But I don't think the city has given Tunsil a pass. I do think that defense maybe has gotten one. I think the defense, in a way, maybe has gotten one. I think a lot of – Tunsil took a lot of heat. Bobby Slowick took a lot of heat over this weekend for how they some of their game plan a little bit with D'Amico putting Eric Murray on Justin Jefferson repeatedly. But I'm not sure the defense took it as much as they did for the 34 points that they gave up in that game and the mistakes they made, Clint. And you look at this thing, I think the expectation – maybe I could be wrong, maybe other people didn't have that, but – it feels like the expectation was for this defense potentially – I heard people talk about not just top 10, potentially maybe top 5 with the guys they've added.
Well, look, we've had now 3 ball games. And in the first ball game, the explosives were unacceptable.
Yep. One's completed and one's that they missed.
That's just – yes, there were 5, maybe 6 that were out there to be had, and I think they had 3. If they'd have hit some other, just throwing the ocean, double moves, receiver running wild down a sideline, if they'd have hit that, really, the easier ones, if they'd have hit the easier
hit
ones,
the hard ones,
that would have been a different game. Awesome. And so as we look at – hit the hard one, man, stay hard, y'all. When it's all said and done, there is an explosive issue in the first game by the defense. And then you fast forward – to the second game you played an offense that might be – it's crazy to say as talented as they are – might be the worst offense in football in terms of just – you know, they're going to make some plays because they're talented. But in terms of scheme and what they're doing, at least early on, they have no clue. They have no answers, and they were overwhelmed, right? So you played well as a defense against them, as has everybody else, by the way. And then in game 3 – you ran into an above average, at least a playoff. Let's give them the credit that they're due. At least a playoff caliber football team, a playoff caliber offense. And they, in the run game and the pass game, ran through you like mess through a goose to the tune of 30-some-odd points. Like, yeah, there is – for me, when I look at – I saw this stat earlier, Ron, the fewest points allowed this season for defenses. Pittsburgh, they've allowed 26 points. Minnesota has allowed 30 points. And the Chargers have allowed 33 points. I don't know that I expect D'Amico Ryan's defense to be dead in the middle of that at this point in time, but I damn sure expect them to be up there in the conversation. Hell, they gave up more. They in one game, they'd be in fourth place on this list. I think with D'Amico Ryan's the head coach and D'Amico Ryan's the defensive coordinator, I think, and we said this when he was hired, like year in, year out, at some point in time, and they've made win now moves. They've made we're going to be dominant moves. This is the beginning of what I think is the expectation should be. You need to be a top five defense if you're going to have D'Amico Ryan's your head coach year in, year out. If you're going to spend the kind of money they spent on defense and bring in those kind of players, you need to be a top five defense, especially after playing the Bears offense, the Colts offense, and Sam Darnold, the Minnesota Vikings.
That's the big part of it is I bet you if you compare the quarterbacks and the offenses that some of these teams play comparative to the Texans, I think it does kind of change the mindset of, like just off the top of my head, I know the Chargers saw, you know, Kirk Cousins and that Atlanta offense, the Steelers, they saw Kirk Cousins, the Atlanta offense, and they saw Justin Herbert and that offense. I mean, you would think those are offenses that are probably quarterbacks and offense that are ahead of Caleb Williams and the Bears, Anthony Richardson. Yeah. And damn sure you just didn't think Sam Darnold would be able to do you in like
the,
that.
The expectation, and look, it's a small sample size. We're not even a month into the season yet, so I'm not throwing D'Amico out with the trash or anything. Everybody relax. But at the end of the day, that's where D'Amico needs to live. D'Amico needs to live in the conversation with the top defenses in this league. Maybe not the top three, but he needs to be in the conversation. He needs to be close. Like this, like you've gone out and you've brought in guys. You've drafted a corner that you
your
anointed
guy
as a starter. Uh-oh. in the second round. You went out in free agency and got a middle linebacker that was your pick of the litter. Uh-huh. You went out and got Danielle Hunter and said, "Yeah, nah, Grenard, we don't want you. Nah, Blake Cash, we don't want you. We want these guys." And you brought those guys in. You brought in two or three. Tell three that I can name off the top of my head.
Drafted Kamari last.
I mentioned that, but you brought three defensive tackles in. Retooled your entire interior defensive line, and you know you gotta, you know, it ain't year one anymore where you don't have the draft capital and you don't have your system's not in, and you don't like this is, you know, by midseason, like D'Amico's group needs to be living in the conversation with Pittsburgh and the Chargers and this crew.
Yeah. All right, coming up as we continue here, Tyler inspired this next topic for me. It was a face that he made. A face that he made and inspired this next topic about the Texans. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Bring on the Jaguars!
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Big City Wings in Edo, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
CJ gets the snap, throwing downfield, and it's picked off. Kamu Grugier-Hill, the former Texan, has it at the 20-yard line, bottled up there. Stroud's first pick of the year. Bad time for it, never a good one. And the Texans have to take the field on D with the Vikings in the red zone.
All right, welcome back in, Big City Wings. That was the first pick of the season from C.J. Stroud. He would throw another later in that game as he tried to force one in to Nico Collins. Obviously the Texans are trying to bounce back from that tough game against the Vikings. Again, come on out to Big City Wings, your chance to win giveaways. We're going to be hooking people up with some game tickets. U of H hosting Iowa State. We'll be doing that first in the 3 o'clock hour. So come hang out,
no
fill out your name. I see a guy right now walking over there filling out his name.
Got a quick update on that, Ron.
Raffle box. What's up?
Quick update on that. So we're giving away today two $25 Academy Sports and Outdoors gift cards, two $25 Big City Wings gift cards, and those U of H tickets.
Go Cougs!
That we've been talking about.
Those four U of H tickets. So four U of H tickets, two different gift cards to Big City Wings, and I'm sure you're able to use it at all of their locations.
Oh, yeah.
And then also two $25 gift cards to Academy Sports and Outdoors. So we are hooking you up on this Football Friday. We don't come empty-handed here when we want to celebrate and have a good time with the people. So come on out and sign your name on and put it on the raffle box and give yourself a chance to win one of those great prizes. So come on out and have a good time. All right. Clint, earlier in the week, we had D'Amico Ryans doing his presser. And I don't know if this is because we're getting closer to October and Tyler is in playoff mood and mode and he's in that spot, or he was really, really pissed off that he paid all that money to go and fly and stay in a hotel and pay for those tickets, and he was in Minneapolis and watched the Texans get embarrassed in front of him. As he said, the most embarrassed he's ever been as a fan. But D'Amico was just talking and just saying, you know, the normal D'Amico-isms. And I just saw Tyler just roll his eyes hard. I mean, it was a hard eye roll. It was a, yeah. You know, I met Tyler, you remember, I said, damn, Tyler. I said it in his ear. Tyler just had it. He was over it. He was over it. It seemed like to me that honeymoon period for Tyler was just over with D'Amico there. And he was just like, dude, come on, man. I'm tired of hearing this. Nah, man, just say what it was. And I just looked at him like, if some people are there with D'Amico, and I think some are getting there, how close are we to that with CJ? Are we getting close to the honeymoon period being there for CJ? When I say the honeymoon period, where I think he just gets a pass. I think CJ right now gets a pass.
God bless, brother.
Here's the deal. Here's the truth of the matter. It is, I've said this about D'Amico, I said it about Bobby Slowick. Like, it is an easy life when you have no expectations. Yes, you're the number two overall draft pick. Will Anderson's number 3-0, but nobody expected you to turn the dumpster fire that was the Houston Texans around in a year.
The Houston Texans were supposed to suck.
And they start, that's right, Pat, that's basically what I'm saying. And they do that. And so there's a level of, boy, you can't do no wrong.
Oh, yeah, the God mode.
I mean, you just, whatever you say, everybody eats it up. And they've created, in my opinion, they've created this rah-rah CJ I'm talking about, and others as well. But they've created this rah-rah, he's the best player in the game about everybody. And boy, that guy, you know, this almost a cheerleader mentality that's just not going to fly if you don't continue to win at a high clip. Like, you know,
I think you're right, Clint. I think there could be some if this thing continues, maybe there's a slide a bit. Yeah. I think there could be some eye rolls like Tyler had with some of the stuff that D'Amico said, that, you know, before when he said it, oh yeah, okay, I got it, but like his kind of like demeanor, his kind of like right now, I think people are rolling with him saying, nah, man, I'm tired of talking about that last loss.
Yeah.
This kind of slide, some of that could be where the honeymoon period.
Yeah, look, I think if you don't rebound this week and you don't play well and the team doesn't play well all year, it's like, well, you know, the response, instead of, oh, it's CJ, it's our guy, the response is going to be, well, we're tired of watching piss poor offensive line play. You know, we're 3 weeks into the season, and the offensive coordinator is talking about, well, truth is, we're just not executing as well offensively in the pass game as we were last year, right? So, I mean, at some point, rubber meets the road with that kind of stuff, and the praying about it, and everybody's great, and the rah rah rah, all that kind of stuff is at some point in time gonna folks will turn a deaf ear to.
Text line rolled through. Mine almost went away with his lack of leadership on the offensive line on Sunday.
Well, that's a great point from a standpoint of like how long do your leaders, like how long before you start to question your leaders with stuff like that, with the penalties, like, because it wasn't just Laramie. Hell, it's the whole team. It's been the whole team. It's been a theme with this 2024 Texans team. Like, how long before you start questioning, well, what are we doing in practice? Like, what are we doing offensively?
Yeah.
You know, at some point, if you don't continue to win, it's just the nature of the beast. If you don't continue to win, folks will question what the hell you're up to.
Yeah. And I just I think we're clearly still in it and well understood and deserved because, like, C.J. Stroud came through here in a time where this city needed him.
Yeah.
They needed him coming off of the Deshaun stuff. They needed him, and they needed this, and he came and delivered, and now you have belief, and he's given that belief, and you should. But you know, when you start to have expectations, as you said, and things start to happen where you don't meet those expectations,
that's right.
At some point, the producer of the afternoon show is going to start rolling his eyes at the things that he used to say that you loved. I saw that. I said, well, I guess that honeymoon period's over.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of my pet peeves, bro. Like, whether it's D'Amico, whether we're talking sports or life or people I consider friends and family, like, don't sugarcoat-ish for me. Like, don't – that insults my intelligence. Like, talk to me. Be real with me. I might not like what you say, but I'm not here for the sugarcoating crap. No.
Well, Tyler, a big part of this, too, is that nobody in the organization has a championship or a big-time run to the AFC championship or, like, this 5-6-7-year history of winning and being great on their side of the football, right? Like, you know, it's easy to hear to listen to a guy go, I'm tired of talking about it, or we're going to put blinders on and move on, if we've seen them put blinders on and move on and it work, right? I mean, there's not a lot of history with this group, and so it boy, if you don't win, that kind of stuff becomes hard to listen to.
Text line coming through. This simple explanation is that CJ got crowned a little too early, and they may not be able to live up to the hype.
I think that could very well be possible.
They should win this one, but I would say, Clint, if they don't win this game, I feel like we could see for some. I don't think all. We could see for some, like people may not just overlook two interceptions overlook. You know,
Ryan. Here's the thing, man. It's you fall to 2-2, and this is in hindsight. Like, before the season started, if you'd have been 2-2, it'd have been like not ideal, but. Like, you look at it now, you fall to 2-2 with three of the four opponents you've played are just flat out nowhere near what we thought you were going to be. Like, it shouldn't be on your level. Then yeah, you got the conversations around the rest of the season are going to be different.
Yeah, I think if
the schedule's
you
fixed,
get outplayed,
the schedule's
if you,
get real.
And I don't think this will happen. But if you were to get outplayed by Trevor Lawrence from what Trevor's been showing, I think there might be a different feel.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. It might be a different feel. All right, coming up, we'll get to a little baseball. The Astros look to finish things off. We'll see how Joe plays this tonight, and they're in Cleveland, so we could be seeing the lineup soon. That'll be interesting to see how Joe plays these last three games that really don't matter right now to the standings. And we'll talk about the Texans injury report and a look at last night's Thursday night football game. As Dallas bounced back, but Micah Parsons may be in a serious injury situation. All of that coming up next right here live on The Drive.